Hail, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We're hoping we're going to be able to have Kent Hovind on the line talking about evolution this evening. If not, why, we'll get Paul Walters, who is our guest for the second hour, and we'll just have him for 2 hours, because Paul is certainly one of my favorite guests. So if we just can't get the hold of Kent Hovind, we've got some answering machines on the line, why we'll see if we can't get Paul Walters. But there are really so many exciting things that are going on in the world today. Certainly what's happening over in Iraq is one of the great tragedies of modern times. Even more tragic because the American people don't seem to be concerned that we had a preemptive strike on a sovereign nation that we had been supporting for 20 years or more. All during the 1980s, the United States, with the leadership of Donald Rumsfeld, who was a special delegate to Iraq for President Reagan, the Reagan administration supported Saddam Hussein, and of course then when George Herbert Walker Bush came to power in 1989, why, he backed Saddam Hussein. And Saddam Hussein was given $5 billion by some small bank down in the south, the southern part of the United States. Obviously, it was some sort of a CIA operation, because when the bank president was actually indicted, for irresponsible action in lending $5 billion to a foreign country, and the judge asked him, asked the bank manager, who told you to give that $5 billion, that's billion dollars, to Saddam Hussein? The bank manager, frightened to death, said, oh, I did, sir. It was all my idea. And the judge said, I don't believe you. And the man said, oh, no, it was all my idea. I want you to believe me. It was all my idea. So I think that we have to, and then we gave him another $5 billion, Saddam Hussein, $5 billion in agricultural credits. And as a result of that, certainly they... we sold him the chemical and biological materials with which Saddam built his chemical and biological weapons. And then somehow or other we actually justify going to war because he has chemical and biological weapons. Now, those of you have never read the book, it's entitled See No Evil by Robert Baer. Robert Baer was a top CIA official in Iraq. In 1995, he was up in Kurdistan, which was, of course, free of the Iraqi influence up there. They were maintaining their more or less sovereignty or independence because it was a no-fly zone, and Saddam was not allowed to take his troops up there and recapture Kurdistan. So Robert Baer had the opportunity of operating out of there, and he had some people down within Iraq itself, and he tells about how the Iraqi military wanted to overthrow Saddam Hussein in 1995, and the American State Department betrayed them, and of course the Iraqi officers who tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein were arrested and tortured to death. The same thing had happened in 1993. In fact, as Robert Baer said, he never met an Iraqi who didn't believe that the United States was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. Let me repeat that. Robert Baer said in his book, and we carry it, See No Evil, that he'd never met an Iraqi who didn't believe the United States was keeping Saddam Hussein in power, and now we're over there killing the people. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, our guest this evening, hopefully, is going to be Kent Hovind, and will be on the line with us, either Kent or Paul Williams, I'm not sure which one. Anyway, we're going to have a guest in about 3 minutes. But I was just talking about the tragedy of the fact that we are at war in Iraq at the present time, and the figures that we're getting out of other countries, and I think the figures that are more or less recognized, is about 100,000 Iraqis have been killed. This would be the military, this would be the Iraqi civilians. I mean, this is a terrible, terrible situation. Now, you can go up on the internet if you want to, go to Google, type in Iraqi civilians, and you'll get the official CIA figure, which is 10 to 15,000. And if anything, people think that only 10 or 15,000 people have been killed with this massive bombing and massive artillery and the destruction of half the city of Fallujah, why, I think that you probably are very naive. But if you go to Google and you type in Iraqi casualties, then type in the word 100,000, why, of course, you'll get stories from all over Europe and from Iraq itself, claiming that about 100,000 Iraqis have been killed so far in this war that we're involved in. And what are we really doing? We're inflaming the entire world against the United States. And what we're doing, of course, is inflaming the Muslim world against the United States. And we have about 6 million Muslims living in this country. Imagine that only 1% of them are swept up in this hatred for this country. Think of the damage that they could do. And it may be a larger number than that. Of course, the major financiers of this whole radical Islamic movement are Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, both of which are fully supported by your government. So why aren't we doing anything to make them stop financing and promoting this radical form of Islam? Why? Because we began supporting this, creating this a long time ago when we overthrew the Ayatollah Khomeini back in 1979. I should say the Shah of Iran, and brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power when we began financing the Mujahideen, the holy warriors in the 1980s. Well, we've got Kent Hovind on the line right now. So, Kent, let's see if we can pick him up here. Kent, how are you tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Kent, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm glad we got hold of you, and we're looking forward to our hour with you. So, for those of you who don't know Kent Hovind, he is certainly one of the great champions of trying to expose this tremendous hoax, which is the theory of evolution. You know, it's so interesting that in our schools and in our universities, there's bastions of academic freedom. Why, nobody is ever allowed to at least put forward the theory of creation and present evolution as a theory. It is a theory, but of course there are no intermediate stages at all. In fact, if you study things very, very carefully, you'll find out that evolution is a theory looking for evidence to justify it with very little there. I mean, it's being blocked by scientists for one reason and one reason only. And, of course, the problem with the theory of evolution is it's only a theory. It's a theory looking for some scientific justification. And Kent Hovind is out here, of course, pointing out what a fraud it is. Kent, why don't you tell our listeners what's wrong with the theory of evolution? After all, hasn't science proven that evolution is a fact?
I guess I would hesitate to even call it a theory, because the theory has to have some evidence. Evolution is actually a religion. People choose to believe in evolution, which is certainly their privilege. I don't care what anybody believes. But they try to hide and behind the shield of science and say, oh, it is science to believe in it. No, it's not. Nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog. What I do in my seminars, and I've done over 90 debates now at universities against professors who believe in evolution, one of the very first things I do is define exactly what the word means. Because when somebody says, you know, evolution, they don't realize that word has six different meanings, only one of which is actually scientific, six of which are purely religious. You have to take them totally, totally by faith. For instance, we have cosmic evolution, which is the origin of time, space, and matter, the Big Bang Theory. Well, nobody's ever seen Big Bang produce anything except a big mess. You know, ask the folks in Afghanistan. They understand that pretty well. And then we'd have to have chemical evolution, where the chemicals would all have to evolve from hydrogen produced by this Big Bang. And nobody's ever seen that either. And then we have to have stellar evolution. The stars have to evolve from non-living material. You know, stars have to evolve, and nobody's ever seen a star form. All we see are stars blowing up once in a while. It's called a nova or a supernova. We've never seen one form, and yet there are trillions out there. 76 trillion stars was the last count. Well, that's enough for everybody on Earth to own 11 trillion stars to themselves. So if somebody wants to believe they just happened by chance, well, I suppose that's fine. I don't care what they believe. There's no scientific evidence that any star can form, let alone did form by itself. Then we have to have organic evolution, where life has to start from non-living material. That's a totally different set of problems for these guys. And then macroevolution, where an animal changes to a different kind of animal. Nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog. And then lastly, and the only one that's actually scientific, is microevolution, where there are variations within the kinds. You know, you get big dogs or little dogs, but they're still dogs. So, yeah, when if you're going to discuss evolution with anybody, including in your school, I highly recommend that you be very careful to define exactly what you're talking about, or you'll just lose the argument right off.
And I think that's really so very, very important. It's like when you want to debate whether it's a Christian nation, you first of all have to define what is a Christian nation. And then, of course, when we're talking about evolution, what do you mean by evolution? What type of evolution? You know, and, of course, the idea that life came from nothing, or that we can explain life here on Earth because it came from some other galaxy, or came from Mars, or and they're still waiting for evidence of life outside of this universe so that they can say that's where life came from, that's where life, how life got on Earth. But then, even if it were true, which I do not believe for 1 minute it is, how do they explain how life evolved in other galaxies?
No.
So, really, they dig the hole deeper and deeper. But as you're absolutely right, Kent, this is a religion, because the thing is that if they do not accept that, if they do not accept that evolution took place, then they have to accept that there was a creator, there's a God, and they don't want to believe in a God.
Oh, no, because that might involve some rules. Maybe this God says, you know, thou shalt not. Oh, boy, they don't want that. That's for sure. And that's where the whole problem comes in. 2 Peter chapter 3, they prophesied this 2,000 years ago, that in the last days there would be scoffers who would be willingly ignorant of the creation and the flood because they're walking after their own lust. That's the bottom line every time. They just don't want God telling them what to do.
Amen to that. Well, let's, of course, take some of the various theories that they have, or some of the various statements that they have out there that they, they have used to justify their situation. Now, since there are no intermediate species, and certainly are intermediate forms between the various species, and Darwin said we would have to actually find those to be able to prove the theory of evolution, how do they justify the fact that we got, say, from being a reptile to being birds or mammals or human beings?
Well, they say it happened so slowly that nobody sees it. I say, okay, well, then it's not science. You know, you may believe in it, which is fine. I don't care what you believe in. But, you know, you need to at least admit this is a religious theory, not a scientific theory. And they'll say, well, we have the fossil record. I say, hold it. There is no such thing as a fossil record. There are bones in the dirt. Okay? It's not a record. These bones don't have dates on them. You're putting your interpretation on them. There simply is no such thing as a fossil record. And so, I mean, you can interpret, if you find billions of bones in the dirt, you could just as easily interpret that as, hey, wow, there was a flood. You know, a worldwide flood that completely wiped out the world, destroyed all the real estate, dropped everybody's property value to zero. I mean, that's a much better explanation of the fossils that we find in the dirt. So I think it's sad that all the taxpayers are forced to teach this one religion. And evolution is absolutely nothing but a religion, and I think a dumb one at that.
Well, of course, now we are told that the dinosaurs were here, I don't know how many, 100 million years ago or tens of millions of years ago, and they will show you these tremendous fossils, and they're really very impressive, are these tremendous skeletons, and they will say, now this is what do they see, 20, 30 million years ago, why this dinosaurus walked on Earth, something of the sort?
They typically say 65 million years ago, but the numbers change with the centuries. You know, it used to say, back in 1925, they said it was 12 million years ago. Actually, back in 1770, they were teaching the Earth is 70,000 years old, and then by 1905, it was 2 billion years old, and by 1969, it was 3.5 billion years old, and man, now it's 4.6. I say, guys, that's amazing. The Earth is getting older at the rate of 21 million years per year. And the dinosaurs, you know, of course, they used to say 65 or 15 or 25, no, 12 million years ago. Now they say, you know, 65 million years ago. Neither is correct. Dinosaurs always lived with humans. They called them dragons. They've lived with man all through human history. and people killed most of them. There could be a few stragglers still alive today. There certainly have been literally thousands of reported sightings of creatures like the Loch Ness Monster, you know, Lake Champlain Monster. Those, I believe, if you study the eyewitness accounts, and there are about 20,000 reported sightings of these creatures, they're describing dinosaurs. And that it only sounds crazy if you believe in evolution. Because, you know, if you believe the Bible, it makes perfect sense. The world's 6,000 years old. Dinosaurs lived with Adam and Eve. Noah took them on the ark. Probably babies. He'd be smart enough to figure that out, I would assume. Just be sure to get a pink one and a blue one. And then people killed most of them. And there could be a few stragglers still around. Wouldn't faze me for a second.
All right. Of course, the thing is, we see many references to these fire-breathing, gigantic creatures in the Bible. Aren't they dinosaurs described in the Bible?
I believe there are 34 references to dragons in the Bible. And there's a whole chapter in Job chapter 40, starting with verse 15, about Behemoth. And it describes him as having a tail like a cedar tree and being the largest animal God made. Quite obviously a brachiosaurus or something similar to that. And then it's got Job 41, where it talks about Leviathan, the fire-breathing dragon. So, yes, sir, there really were fire-breathing dragons. There certainly are an awful lot of legends about these creatures. And it makes you stop and wonder, you know, why would there be so many legends if there wasn't something behind this? And, you know, from a Christian perspective, hey, there probably was. I think if you could kill a fire-breathing dragon, you would really be a hero. So they probably quickly went extinct after the flood in the days of Noah.
And, of course, we've always heard the stories about St. George and slaying the dragon. That was quite an accomplishment. That's part of the British folklore, isn't it?
Right, and Beowulf slew two dragons, and the third one killed him in 583 A.D. He was king of Denmark. Of course, there's Loch Ness Monster and Lake Champlain Monster in New York. The Ogopogo is a creature been seen by thousands of people up in Canada. I was just up there a few weeks ago in British Columbia, and I spoke in the town of Kelowna, which is the right on the lake. It's 80 miles long, this Lake Okanagan is. And I interviewed a guy who just had seen a few months ago, in August, had seen the Ogopogo, had actually bumped the bottom of their boat and woke them all up.
What is an Ogopogo? I'm not acquainted with that one.
Very similar to the Loch Ness Monster. They describe it as having a head like a horse and a long body like a serpent, and they assume it has some kind of flippers underneath, so apparently something similar to a plesiosaurus. If you go to my website, drdino.com, you can go to the articles about dinosaurs in the 20th century. And there's quite an interesting bunch of pictures on there, actually.
Didn't they actually have one here in the Monterey Bay area, you know, somewhere here, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago?
Yeah, it was 1925. For years, fishermen had talked about this thing, and everybody thought they were crazy. They said, man, there's a dinosaur that swims around in the Pacific Ocean, and sometimes he comes up close to Salinas, you know, California, south of San Francisco. And everybody thought they're nuts, and they called it the Old Man of the Sea was the nickname they had for it. And one day, some fishermen from a sardine fleet witnessed as a bunch of seals were attacking this creature and fighting with it. And it apparently, they overcame it, because a few days later, the dead body of it washed up on the beach. And there's some really good pictures of it. It had a 20-foot-long neck. And these pictures are on the website there, drdino.com, D-R-D-I-N-O. You can see them for yourself.
But, of course, they don't talk much about that because they want you to think that all the dinosaurs lived, you know, umpteen billion years ago. And, of course, if you believe in a fairly new Earth, why, of course, we would expect there might still be some residuals around. And it's not only that. There have been other examples of it. I understand fishing fleets have actually captured similar creatures and massive creatures. But we'll be back talking to Dr. Kent Hovind here in just a moment. Of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is Dr. Kent Hovind. We call him Dr. Dino. And he is one of the people who's out there trying to educate people about one of the greatest frauds of all time. And that is the science of evolution. It isn't scientific. It's fraudulent science, but it's being used to destroy the faith of our children. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Dr. Kent Hovind. Well, Kent, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you have? I understand that you've got some sort of a theme park down there in Florida. Are you in Pensacola?
Yes, sir. We're in Pensacola. We got hit pretty hard with a hurricane a couple months ago, but we're recovering pretty good. I mean, it tore up the town. They've now collected over 6 million cubic yards of debris, which is piled up in various places around town, and I'm not sure what they're going to do with it. But, yeah, we have Dinosaur Adventureland. It's a museum, a theme park, and a science center, all based on creation instead of evolution. I, for one, am absolutely sick and tired of all of the textbooks teaching this stupid evolution theory, and I think it's time we put up some Christian resistance and say, hold it, stop the music. There's no evidence for evolution. You know, the king has no clothes. Let's get on the ball, guys, and teach the truth, okay? The truth is, nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog. So if somebody chooses to believe, you know, capital B, believe, that dogs came from non-dogs, okay, well, great. But it's not science. So all the museums and science centers that I'm aware of, and I've been to hundreds of them around the country, they all teach us evolution theory. I said, let's get a place where parents can go and a place that glorifies God. So we have all kinds of slides and rides and activities, and we just have a blast, brother. You would have a wonderful time here.
Well, do you have a fair number of people come to your place there?
It grows every year. We had, we've been open 3 years. We've had 40-some thousand so far total in the 3 years we've been open. I think last year, well, I haven't totaled it for this year yet. We got a few more weeks, about a week to go, but about 18,000 probably this year. So, yeah, we got room for more. We have about 7 acres, and we grow as we can, you know, add to the park. We have an amazing, you can go to the website, dinosauradventureland.com, and see quite a few of the pictures of the place here. And we have stuff for all ages. We had a bunch of college students come one time and couldn't get them to leave till midnight. They were having so much fun. So.
Well, you know, of course, you go to the average museum, and they will have this exhibit, and it'll show this funny-looking little monkey, and then they'll show a chimpanzee, and then they'll show an orangutan, and then they'll have a gorilla, and then all of a sudden they lose all their hair, and they're standing up. They sort of got monkeyoid faces, but they're standing erect, and then finally there's the human being. Just sort of this progression, you know. And you've seen it right there. You've actually seen the progression from the monkey right up to the man. The only trouble is, they really have no evidence for it at all, other than a visual one, do they?
It's an artist's conception. I mean, I could do that, turn a tricycle into a tiger, you know. You can turn anything into anything if you're going to let an artist loose on it. That's not science. Now, nobody's ever seen any animal produce a different kind of animal. So all of that is just hocus pocus. And I'm sick of funding it, number one. Number two, I'm sick of them using lies to support this theory. That's one of the big beefs I have is, it's bad enough that they believe this stupid idea that we all came from a rock, okay? But they want me to pay their salary while they teach this to the next generation. I say, guys, look, I don't care if you want to teach evolution. I really don't. But don't use lies to support the theory. And we wrote a little book called Are You Being Brainwashed by Your Science Book? And in that book, it covers about 20 of the 80-some lies that are used to support the evolution theory. And it just shows, like, for instance, they're still teaching the kids that the tailbone is proof that man used to have a tail. I say, guys, I taught biology and anatomy, okay? There are 9 little muscles that attach to the tailbone, and you need them, trust me, okay?
No, hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back here with Dr. Kent Hovind. Well, Dr. Stan, with us this evening is Dr. Kent Hovind. We're talking about this lie that they call evolution that is being taught in our schools, and one reason they want your children in government schools so they can wipe out their faith in God. And, of course, I'll never forget when I first got involved in this movement some 42 years ago, and the thought that maybe evolution wasn't true. Well, I knew evolution was true. I mean, I'd studied it in grammar school. I'd studied it in high school. I'd studied it in college. I'd studied it in medical school. Everybody knew that evolution was true. And then suddenly the realization that maybe I'd been lied to all during my years of university, and what a shocking thing it was as I began to read the other side and began to realize that everything I had been taught, everything I'd been trained in, everything I'd talked about and quoted and scoffed at the non-believers were right and I was entirely wrong. I think it's very difficult, Kent, and I don't know whether you've ever been in that position, but suddenly to have to take a completely 180-degree opposite position from everything you believed in. But if you're interested in the truth, you have to do it.
Absolutely. You follow truth wherever it leads you. And if it leads you straight to the Creator, well then, great. There's a Creator. You know? And it is hard for people to overcome that. It's called the theory of cognitive dissonance. You know, what you're taught all your life, you tend to believe. And when somebody comes up with something else that's contrary to what you've already been taught, it's just nigh on impossible to get that out of your head and say, oh, maybe this guy's right, you know. Which is why you start off early when the kids are 3 years old and teach them, wow, dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. And before you know it, they're believing it.
And that's why, of course, they're so anxious to get our kids into preschool today. That's why they're so anxious to have this idea of success by six. Oh, if we could just get our kids, get your children into preschool, they're going to do so much better all the rest of their lives. They're spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars in advertisements, television advertisements across America, to get gullible parents to get their kids into preschool so that they, government and the preschool people, can turn those children's minds and hearts against their family, against our country, and certainly against God.
Yeah, that's what's happening, too.
They want to start indoctrinating them in kindergarten, and the fact that homosexuality is perfectly normal. My goodness, why would we want to send our children to a school that would do that?
It's so sad. You know, my PhD is in education. And I tell people, my brother led me to the Lord. He's a great godly man, but he retired from teaching public school after 34 years. My mom taught and retired from teaching public school. The system is unfixable in the short term, okay? If you can, in any possible way, get your kids out, okay? In spite of all the good godly teachers in the system, it is corrupt, it's unfixable. Get them out. If you got to sell your house and sell your car and ride a bike, you know, and live in a tent. If you cannot get them out for whatever reason, and I don't know of any reason why you couldn't in America, okay? Either homeschool, private school, Christian school, or no school. I'd rather have them dumb than be, you know, believe in something dangerous like evolution. But if you can't isolate them, then certainly insulate them. You know, you would never send your kid off to a hostile environment like the moon or the bottom of the ocean or the middle of a fire without proper equipment. And here we are sending our kids off to the very hostile environment without the proper equipment, and we're losing, well, statistics say 75% of kids from Christian homes that go to public schools will reject the Christian faith.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that they are teaching our children that just are not true. Now, how do they explain where life came from? In other words, if I'm going to go to a government school and they're going to teach me evolution, they have to have some explanation where life came from. Are they going to tell me it came from outer space? Are they going to tell me it just happened? Are they going to tell me there was some sort of an electric storm and some hydrogen and calcium, carbon atoms got together with a nitrogen and created hydrocarbons? How do they begin trying to explain the origin of life? If they can't, of course, try to convince them it came from outer space.
Sure. Well, that only postpones the problem. You know, how did it start out there is the next question. But there's an article in Discover Magazine last month, a November issue of Discover Magazine, said a sponge is our ancestor. It's got a picture of a sponge with a big arrow pointing to it and says, this is your father or your grandfather or something like that. How stupid can you get? How life gets started is absolutely an insurmountable problem for the evolutionist. But yet they just go right on. You know, they'll say, well, it's not really part of evolution. You know, evolution only deals with life after it gets here. I say, okay, well, then you don't have a coherent theory, because how did life get here? But it is true the textbooks teach life came from non-living material, you know, about 3.9 billion years ago. Basically, it goes to, the scenario says, you know, there was a warm little pond, and lightning strikes were hitting this little pond, and it combined the, you know, amino acids and made proteins. And of course, that's all a story. They made it up. Nobody's ever observed any of this. And I'm sick of them using my tax dollars to teach that.
We're going to be back here in just a moment or two with Dr. Kent Hovind. We're going to welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Wait. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess this evening is Dr. Kent Hovind, and of course we're talking about the myth of evolution. It is a myth. It is a story. It is a lie. And of course there is just no evidence at all that man evolved from lower forms of life. Certainly there may be a very, very direct similarity between the genetic code of man and certainly other lower forms of life, but how do the evolution explain now, of course, the genetic code, the DNA, you know, how do they explain, you know, this perfect order that we see in life that can allows it to reproduce itself? You know, certainly do they try to say this is all simply by accident?
They do. It just is mind-boggling that otherwise intelligent people would just go absolutely bonkers and lose all sense of common sense and say that, well, you know, it must have happened because we're here, you know. Suppose I said, Dr. Stan, I want you to explain how computers came to be, but you cannot use man as your answer. I want you to give me a naturalistic explanation for the origin of computers. Well, you could analyze all the components of the computer and find out, hey, it's 100% natural components. There's nothing magic about a computer. You know, there's not a little man running around and they're changing the numbers on the screen. But if I said you have to explain the origin of this computer with a purely naturalistic mechanism, I've already tied your hands. Now, I think it is possible to explain the operation of the computer, and it's also possible to explain the operation of the human body or any life form with naturalistic explanation. You know, there's carbon and hydrogen, and, you know, different chemicals are taken in the different forms of food, and the body breaks them down and uses them, and you know, you got the ATP and all the different energy sources. And yeah, I think we've done a pretty good job in biology of explaining the operation of different life forms, but that has nothing to do with the origin. Any more than explaining the operation of a computer naturalistically will determine the origin. You know, you have to go outside the computer for an answer to how it got there. That is, a creator, an intelligent designer made it. And the same thing with life or any living thing. There had to be an intelligent designer.
All right, and I think that's really so important. You know, certainly a computer doesn't just happen, and something as marvelous as the human body, you know, the wonderful mechanics that are involved in every aspect, even if it's simply looking at the function of the human hand, and when we used to dissect the human hands and operate on them when I was doing full-time surgery, I never ceased to marvel at the perfect asymmetry, the perfect organization, the perfect mechanics of the human hand. It didn't just happen by accident. Somebody had to design it. That's, of course, just one reason that I believe in God. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Dr. Kent Hovind from Pensacola, Florida. And before we go on, Kent, let's get out your website. Let's get out your telephone number. Then we're going to go to Brad, who's waiting up in Washington to talk to you.
All right. They can contact us at the office here in Pensacola, 877, toll-free, 479-DINO, 877-479-3466. And if they call, we've got a free book we give out called Are You Being Brainwashed by Your Science Book? Just ask for the free brainwashed book. If you call tonight, you can get just go to the answering machine. Nobody's here, of course. It's pretty late here in Florida. Yeah, you go to the website, drdino.com, drdino.com, or dinosauradventureland.com.
All right, very good. Well, let's talk to Brad up there in Washington. Hi, Brad. What part of Washington do you live in?
Well, actually, I'm over here in Moses Lake right now.
Okay, very good. Well, good to have you. Do you have a question for Dr. Hovind?
Well, actually, you asked the question, you know, how do the government schools justify, or, you know, how do they clarify where life began? And, well, as is common with most government things, they don't feel the need to justify anything. They just state it as a fact and go on. That's what I remember from 20 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's amazing, you know, because I think most of the teachers are really very, very sincere, but that's what they were taught. And I used to argue, the evolution point of view just beautifully. Until I began to think about what the arguments were and realize that I've been lied to all through my school.
Well, that's kind of like saying, you know, there's going to be a lot of people in hell that sincerely didn't believe in it. You know, And there's going to be a lot of sincerely wrong people in hell. It's just the reality of if you're wrong, you're wrong. It doesn't matter how sincere you are, you know.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly agree with you. Is there any point? Do you have a question at all for our guest this evening?
No, I have really enjoyed Ken Hovind for many years. I've heard him on several other programs throughout the years, and I just applaud him for his understanding and getting the word out to people.
Well, you know, Brad, I think God calls on certain people to do certain things. He's called on Kent to do what he's done. He's called on other people to work on the Gulf War situation, called on other people to work on the relationship between, say, breast carcinoma and first-term abortion, or other people are involved in certainly the abortion controversy, called on me to do what I'm doing. But I think that God, of course, has called Kent out to try to expose this fraud of evolution. So thanks so much for calling.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Mike calling in Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Mike, did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Dan. Question. First of all, thanks for having Dr. Dino on again. I always enjoy his information. And I want to ask about the way evolution promotes racism between blacks and whites. I remember way back in grade school that they would show us a picture of the swamp creatures then progressing up onto the land, and then eventually you have the ape forms, and then the black man, and then the white man. And so the white man, according to this scenario, is a superior life form. And that's the way we were indoctrinated.
All right, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's exactly what the evolution theory has taught for years. Charles Darwin was quite a racist. He thought the black people were inferior. Actually, Adolf Hitler would be the ultimate evolutionist. I mean, he was simply trying to speed up the process. Because if evolution is true and one race has evolved farther, then it really would be beneficial if the superior race could identify the inferior race and eliminate them so they quit taking up, you know, air and water and food that the superior race needs.
Well, that's exactly what they've said about doing.
That's exactly what Hitler did. Exactly right.
Well, even
and
now,
it's not evolution theory.
I mean, it's not simply by accident that 70% of black children are born out of wedlock. It's not by accident that if you look at the AIDS statistics, 50% of the new cases in the United States are in the blacks, whereas they only make up 10% of the population. These things just don't happen by accident. This is, in my estimation, a genetically engineered disease. And it is genetically engineered to kill blacks. They have the ability for racial-specific diseases to wipe out specific races. And if you don't believe that they're planning on doing that, you only need to read that report on the Project for the New American Century webpage. That's their Rebuilding America's Defenses website. That's Rebuilding America's Defenses, and there they talk, and you can go up and look at some of the letters I've written. You'll get the page. How it's wonderful, we'll soon be able to create diseases that will target specific races. That's what it's really all about. You're absolutely right, Mike. These people really are racist. Unfortunately, they hold the reins of power in our society today.
There's also the abortion industry, which targets blacks, and many black groups have been becoming aware of this over the last 15 years or so.
Right.
And they're speaking out and rising up against it. That's a tough one.
Okay, well, we've got to help them.
Yep.
God bless, because every person, whether their skin is black or brown or red or yellow, every person is a human being made in the image and likeness of God. Thanks so much for calling, Mike. So did you have any response at all to what Mike was saying?
A little bit. I do cover that on my video number, both video 4 and 5 of my seminar series. You can go to drdino.com and take a look at that. Because the idea of racism, that's what motivated the Japanese also. Japanese scientists were doing all kinds of studies in the 1920s and 30s saying that the Japanese race is superior because they have evolved farther, and why they have less body hair and milder body odor. You know, there are very few really hairy Japanese people. Oh, and they said, see, that's proof we've evolved farther from the apes. I mean, the Japanese thought they were doing the world a favor by, you know, let's wipe out everybody who's non-Japanese. It's hard to comprehend how far this theory has influenced world events and how many, you know, tens of millions of people have died. Pol Pot, the leader of Cambodia and the Khmer Rouge, you know, from 1975 to 79, killed one-third of his entire population. And he was quite an evolutionist. You know, he just wanted to speed up the process. So let's eliminate the inferior. So that's why I say evolution is not only a danger, it's not only a dumb idea, it's a dangerous religion.
I believe you're absolutely right, and I think people find it so difficult to believe that anything could be that evil, that you would kill millions and millions of people for no reason at all. Well, you would have a reason. You know, when we talk about what happened in Hitler's Germany, we talk about the 6 million Jews who died. We never mention the other 12 million who were liquidated in the concentration camps. That's covered in a book called Warrant for Genocide. It's written by Professor Norman Cohn. And in the foreword of the book, he talks about the 12 million others. They were predominantly Christians. Of course, some of them were gypsies. Some of them were mentally defective or handicapped people. And they were simply eliminated. Now, why do we ever talk about that other 12 million? Why do we only talk about the 6 million Jews? Well, let's go to Evelyn here, calling from Massachusetts. Hi, Evelyn. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Isn't this give the people the idea that, you know, I've heard it, I've read it in some books, that the human is only a material made out of material and energy, so therefore no God, no soul, so therefore we can kill the older people or abort the younger, and they have no guilt in them. Well, isn't this what this comes from?
How would you respond to Evelyn, Kent?
Well, yeah, if evolution is true, then man is nothing but a collection of chemicals. You know, they got together by chance over billions of years. So,
and that gives them the excuse to murder, right?
Right.
I asked a student in Pennsylvania, I was speaking at a public school up there, he told me he was an atheist, and I said, well, son, let me ask you a question. If you're an atheist, how do you determine right from wrong? How does anybody determine right from wrong? And he said, well, that's real simple. I decide what's right or wrong. He said, I'm the God of my own universe.
I am, huh?
I said, well, I'm glad to hear about that, son, because I'm going to shoot you in 5 minutes. He said, you can't do that. I said, well, sure I can. I'm the God of my own universe. I decided it's fine to shoot you.
He was insanity.
What was his response to that, Kim?
He was real quiet. I think he was finally thinking, probably the first time in years. You know?
Right. Well, you know, the trouble is that we educate our children far beyond their intelligence. We give them all these ideas founded in nothing. We tell them, you know, you determine what's right and wrong, and then we're surprised when they take the wrong path. Evelyn, did you have something else you wanted to say?
No, I was just saying, what insanity. You know,
well, we live in a world gone mad. There's only a few of us are really still sane, and everybody thinks we're crazy.
You're right, doctor.
Thanks so much, Evelyn. Your job is to get as many people as you can back there in Massachusetts.
I do, and I get these letters, and I put them in the newspaper, and oh, wow.
Well, you just
won't be popular, but you'll be telling the truth.
Well, Evelyn, the thing is that more and more people really are waking up across America. That's why the other side is worried, and they're starting to have to enforce their dictatorship in the name, of course, of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden. But that's why they're having to bring in this Office of Homeland Security and begin to have surveillance and collect dossiers on everybody and, of course, tap their telephones and read their emails and read their faxes. And that's all done under Operation Echelon.
Right,
it's unconstitutional,
right.
But they don't care because who are you going to report the lawbreakers to?
The thing is, doctor, people have to stop being afraid and stand up for the truth. And remember Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. Do you want to live in a world where people are going to do what they want to you and you're just going to look what Hitler did? And the people never said anything. They said, oh, it's not going to happen to me.
No,
it is going to happen if the people don't rise up.
You're absolutely right. And I always like to say, you know, if you're not willing to stand on your feet today and say no, you may soon be on your knees saying yes.
And of course,
that wonderful quotation from Tom Anderson about Dante's concept. Dante, who wrote The Inferno, saying that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a time of moral crisis, maintain a position of neutrality.
Right.
And believe me, we are in a terrible position of
moral
crisis today. God bless you. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right, that was Evelyn calling in from Massachusetts. And if you have a question for Dr. Dino, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We've got Tim calling from Indianapolis. Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Oh, hi. Great, Dr. Stan. I wanted to ask your guest if he's familiar with Roget's Law of Physics.
Do you have any comment on Roget's Laws of Physics?
refresh my memory. There's
basically
1,000 laws of physics.
Yes, Roget's law says that two large objects, such as planets, if they get too close to each other, one or both will...
Okay, yeah, it's
Roget. So basically, we know that the moon has been moving 3 inches a year away from the Earth. So if you would go back a few billion years or million, like they tell us, you know, it's impossible for the sun, for the Earth, and the moon to develop.
Right. We've always pronounced it Roche's limit, which is why I didn't understand what your question was. Roche's limit says two large objects, like the moon and the Earth, cannot be closer than 2.44 times the radius of the larger planet. So if any large object like the moon got within 10,000 miles of the Earth, roughly, it would simply shatter because the gravitational pull on the near side is greater than the pull on the far side, and which is, you know, simple physics there with gravitational attraction, inverse square law. So, yes, that does put a time limit of less than the billions of years that they claim, just with the moon moving away. And that's only one of about 50 ways to show this Earth is not billions of years old. And we cover
another,
a lot of,
I'm sorry, another quick question. Something that came out of Arkansas during 1981, the Creation Science Act.
Uh-huh.
And wouldn't you know it, it was a federal judge, William Overton, who ruled the act unconstitutional by saying it was simply and purely an effort to introduce the biblical version of creation to the public school curriculum.
Well, I think the folks in Arkansas made a mistake by even trying to pass that law. I think they were probably well-intentioned. But there's no need for it. You can already teach creation. You've always been able to teach creation in public schools. Never been a law against it. It's just the fact is they don't. You know, the textbooks certainly don't teach it. And so the folks in Arkansas said, hey, let's force evolution into the schools. I think it was a mistake. The judge ruled you cannot require creation be taught. He did not say, and nobody's ever said, you cannot teach creation in the schools. They just said it can't be required. What they should have done instead, and what I encourage people to do all over, is require accuracy in textbooks. Don't lie to the kids. Because if you take all the lies out of the textbooks, like the embryo having gill slits, or the tailbone being vestigial, or the whale having a vestigial pelvis, you know, if you took all the lies out of the textbooks, there's nothing left to support the evolution theory. I say, well, guys, that's just tough. You know, that's your problem. You shouldn't have had such a dumb theory to begin with. No, don't blame me. I don't want evolution out of the schools. I really don't.
Okay.
I want lies out.
All right, fine. Well, thanks so much for calling, Jim.
Thank you.
And let's go to Diana up there in the state of Washington. Hi, Diana. What part of Washington are you in?
I'm in Moses Lake.
Okay, good. Well, the second call from Moses Lake tonight. Do you have a question or comment?
I'm 15 years old, and I was asking some of my friends what they think of absolute truth, and it kind of scared me because the whole argument that, you know, all truth is relative, and so I have a research paper, and I'm doing it on absolute truth, and I wanted to see what your, you know, what you think the best argument is.
All right, what's the best argument for absolute truth, Kent? How would you approach it? Other than I love that thing. You're absolutely sure there's no absolutes? But go ahead, Kent.
Yeah, I have them tell me there are no absolutes, so I always ask them, are you absolutely sure? It really blows their little mind, you know. There has to be an absolute truth. How can we know anything, okay? How can anybody know anything about anything? There has to be some kind of standard somewhere. There has to be some kind of absolute truth. If the evolution theory is true, actually, of course, then that's correct. There are no absolutes. There is no absolute truth. But you can't even know that, because if evolution is true, then your brain's nothing but a bunch of chemicals that got together by chance over billions of years. So how could you possibly trust your own thoughts and the conclusions you come to? You know, they're really, really in a catch-22 situation.
I think,
because you can't have it, you can't have absolute truth without an absolute creator.
And I think that this is really what it's all about, Diana. It's about God. If there is a God, then there is a right, there is a wrong, there are absolutes. I mean, there are laws of physics, there are laws of chemistry, there are laws that govern music, there are laws that govern the formation of languages. There are laws in every aspect of our society. I mean, certainly physiology follows certain laws, anatomy follows certain laws. there is a absolute because there is a God. If there's no God, then there are no absolutes. The problem with your friends is they don't believe in God.
Well, yeah, and what you were talking about, you know, how you discern right and wrong, I think that that mindset is in this generation.
Well,
of
the thing
I am my own law.
And that person,
I decide what's true.
That is a satanic idea. That was the ideas of a man named Aleister Crowley, and he wrote a book called The Book of the Law, in which he said, do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. That is, of course, there are no absolutes. Either there's a God that laid out certain laws by which we should live, or there is no God, and then you have moral chaos, and that's where we're headed, and you stick to your beliefs, Diana, because there is a God. He created the heaven and the earth, and, of course, you violate his laws, terrible, terrible consequences.
Yeah, I think, Diana, you might want to check out the works of Frank Peretti. He's up there in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. He's got some great stuff on, exactly what you're looking for.
Now, would that be on his website?
I don't remember his website, but it's Frank Peretti, P-E-R-E-T-I, I think.
I see very close to that. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Diana.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, Diana, I think, is asking a very, very important question. How does a Christian child function in our society today? Somebody who believes their absolutes are right and wrong, and that you should be obeying God's laws, when, of course, everybody else around you says, oh, no, there are no absolutes, or they'll argue with you. And it really all has to do with our conception of God. If there is a God, there are laws. If there is no God, there are no laws. And you end up with moral anarchy, and you end up with 70% of the black children being born out of wedlock, 25% of white children being born out of wedlock. If there are no absolute laws, why not go to war over there and kill all the Iraqis and steal all their oil? After all, what's wrong with that? We need the oil, and we're stronger than they are. What's wrong with that? Well, it's wrong because it's immoral. And the reason we're in the problems we are today is America as a nation has turned its back on God and God's laws. Kent, we've got about 2 minutes for you to wrap up this program.
Well, yeah, we'd like to encourage people, especially over Christmas holidays. This is a great time for them to reach their friends and neighbors with the truth. We have found that video is such a powerful way to reach people. You know, people will sit home and read and watch a video that just simply will never read a book or come to church or anything else. And so we produce a lot of materials at our ministry that are not copyrighted. They're welcome to copy them and give them to their friends. And as a Christmas special, they probably would have to call right away or call Monday at the latest to get it to anybody in time. But if they call 877-479-DINO, they can get a set of our tapes. It's $99 for the all 17-hour seminar. And then they get a second set for half price to give to somebody for Christmas. So.
And I've seen these are really amazing. You really want to get this set. We've actually gone through, I don't know if it's been through the whole 17 hours, but I'm sure I've sat much over 6 or 8 hours anyway, and they're fascinating, fascinating tapes. I recommend Dr. Kent Hovind's material to you. A wonderful, wonderful gift. And, of course, it will give you the arguments that you can use. The arguments that he's learned, and of course it's a means of presenting the facts to try to get people to think about the fact that they have been brainwashed in our schools. Kent, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure having you here as a guest on Radio Liberty.
Well, thank you, brother. Call anytime.
All right. Well, we will get you on our morning program real soon, right?
All
maybe
right.
After the first year. Bye-bye. And
all
God
right.
Bless you. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest has been Dr. Kent Hovind, and I think this is such a vitally important issue, because the reason that they don't want creation taught in school is because they want to destroy our children's belief in God. And, of course, they want to do everything they can to convince them that evolution is true, because if evolution is true, why certainly the Bible is a lie. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, I hope you enjoyed our time with Dr. Kent Hovind. We do carry a couple of books on this subject ourselves. We have one called The Evolution Cruncher. We have a book called A Tornado in a Junkyard. Tornado in the Junkyard. It's a great book. It's got a lot of facts in it. We recommend that to you. And certainly Kent's material that he was talking about this evening is excellent. But The Evolution Cruncher is an inexpensive book, but it must be 600 pages. It's relatively inexpensive. And it simply answers all the questions that you have in reference to evolution and gives you those arguments that you need to be able to deal with other people. And then, of course, Tornado in the Junkyard by Perloff, I think, is one of the great books that we carry. Anyway, Tornado in a Junkyard and the Evolution Cruncher. Well, this is the time, of course, we want to mention that we have so many items here at Radio Liberty that we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to getting them. We do carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water filters, and if there was ever a crisis in across America, why, this would be something you would certainly want to have. It actually will filter out radioactive particles, and in case of a nuclear attack or an accident, why, of course, it would give you a source of water. Now, you'd have to replace the filters after a couple of weeks, but you'd certainly be safe during that period of time. You would have water, and of course it will take the impurities out of your water. If you're in an area with fluoride in your water, as in so many of the areas of this country, fluoride has a tremendous impact on the brains of our children, and it basically lowers the IQ, and it makes people certainly much more malleable and much more controllable. That's one reason they want to fluoridate the water, that and the fact that it decreases fertility, lowers testosterone, lowers sperm mobility. They know all of these things. They just don't want you to know that. Well, we've got a great four-tape set on water fluoridation, but the major thing is that if you live in a fluoridated area or there's a question of arsenic or lead in your water, or if they're putting fluoride into your water, why they're ordinarily using this product that adds both arsenic and lead as well. And that's why, of course, you need either a Big Berkey or Berkey Light and the post filters. You can go up on our website and look at them, and, of course, you can get more information by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you do get the set of those from the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, or from Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a free video or a free four-tape set that we've actually produced as a sign of our appreciation. We carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, a wonderful program on 22 CDs. It'll take your child from grammar school all the way through high school graduation. We carry the Sangian Radio. But we have all sorts of four-tape sets on almost any subject you're interested in. From, of course, the origins of our country to our certainly the Kennedy assassination or the pagan agenda or Vietnam or what happened in Oklahoma City or what happened at Waco. We have specials on all of these various things. And, of course, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there live, directly or indirectly, 5 hours a day and not get much of anything accomplished. You can, of course, listen to our archive programs. We keep them archived there for some weeks after we do the programs. And then, of course, we want you to go and look at the various four tape sets that you'll find there, the various videos, the various books we have, because this will give you the documentation for so much of what you need to know. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me suggest that you get it. It'd be a wonderful Christmas gift for somebody. Or get the video or get the book, the video and the audio tape together. You call that the Brotherhood of Darkness special. But you can change people's lives when you show them the truth. Please encourage others to listen to our programs and, of course, to listen to us on shortwave or on the Internet. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so to the people up in the great Northwest, we're saying goodnight to. Why, we'll be back with you on Monday. Please pray for America and pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And if you are out across America, you'd like to call us, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from Oregon, the editor of newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. Really one of the most fascinating websites you're going to find there. Fascinating essays on a daily basis. Paul Walter, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me, Stan. Appreciate it.
Well, of course, Paul has republished a book called The Coming Battle. It was written back, in the 1890s there. And it was talking about what was happening financially to the world, to America at that time. And, of course, looking forward to the battle between those people who control the money supply, our financial system, and, of course, the people who want to be free, and pointing out, of course, that those who control the money control the destiny of the nation. But tonight we were going to talk maybe a little bit about that towards the end of the program. We thought we'd talk about some of the issues that are being addressed on newswithviews.com. Some of the finest writers in the country have their programs, their essays are posted there, certainly Dr. Dennis Cuddy, Mary Tourette, O'Brien, O'Hara, Sarah. Debbie O'Hara, certainly Barrett Chose. A lot of my favorite guests, radio guests, are on your website, Frosty Wooldridge. Anyway, tell us what some of the items are that you think are important right now.
Well, one of the items that is really frosting me is how public officials, see, I've seen that in a communist country that I was born in. There are people in this world, I call them scoundrels, and if you give them a badge and power, they'll sell their mother down the river. And there was a Fox News today, this lady was on, of course I knew about this 2-3 days already, you know, and she was on today how in this particular public school they had what they call gay day events. So she came there with a camera to film this event there, and the school called the cops, and the cops came and started flexing the muscle, and they said, if you don't stop filming and leave, we're going to arrest you. So they start threatening her. And I've always said this, there are those in public officials that sell their soul for a paycheck. If I was a cop, I would have never told this lady that I'm going to arrest you unless you stop filming. I would have took her inside the lady. You're free to do whatever you want. This is a free country. You're not violating anyone's rights if you're filming this. You're allowed to film a football game at a school. Why aren't you allowed to videotape a gay day event? Why? Because they're hiding something. So the cops are protecting these perverts who are destroying our children. Now, this lady was on O'Reilly tonight, and she was basically, he asked her, well, what are they doing? I mean, were you there long enough before you left to see what these people were doing? And she said, yeah, this guy was up to speaking to my 15-year-old son that about his love life with this boy, now if he fell in love with another boy, and how wonderful it is to have a relationship with another boy. And he's talking this, and the school officials allowed this to our children to be indoctrinated, and there were no churches. There was nobody there protecting this lady's rights.
Well, I think, of course, that there is an attack on the moral fabric of our children. They really want, of course, to introduce them to sexual aberration because they really want their souls. And, of course, where is the outcry from our churches?
There isn't any.
There isn't any. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Paul Walter. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Paul Walter. We're just talking about some of the items that you will find on his website, newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. So I share your concern over so much of what's happening, the progressive moral breakdown of our society, and our turning back on the biblical principles, which were the very foundation upon which our republic was built. So, well, there's some other issues, Paul, you wanted to talk about.
Well, I mean, that's a very important issue. See, our moral fabric in this country is our attack. Our youth, our children, in a sense, is under attack. And if look for example in Kiev, they stole those people's elections. You had 2 million of them out there standing in brazen cold. They were freezing their little tushies off, standing out there for 2 weeks for justice. Now in America, you know
I'm sorry. Where was this?
In Lithuania or wherever it was.
Was it Ukraine?
Ukrainian
election.
Yes.
Sure.
They stood out there in cold to get justice. Now while they were out there, they were praying that this could be resolved peacefully without bloodshed. Now that's the way you pray. You go out there and you stand for something and you pray while you're doing it. But in America here, these spineless bastards with a collection plate, they tell these people that, you know, well, Romans 13 says you have to obey government authority. No matter how wicked these people are, even if every government authority is a Satanist, you have to obey them anyway because Jesus said that, and that's a lie. And they're telling these people, and that's why there is no backbone in this country. If we had the churches all got together and said, listen, we're not going to take this anymore. This is a Christian nation. You're destroying the moral fiber of this country. You're destroying our youth. We're going to stand for something, and you have, for example, a town of 20,000 people, or look at Philadelphia, where these four men are facing 47 years because they had the Bible in their hand and they were at a gay event and they said, well, Bible, if there's hate in the Bible, you're facing 47 years. No church is there again either. And what is Philadelphia called? The city of brotherly love. Is that brotherly love that four guys are facing 47 years because they had the Bible in their hands? See, there's something wrong in this country, and the reason evil is so powerful. Evil doesn't have no power at all. Jesus said in the Bible, he says, stand up to evil and it will flee. That's exactly right. It does. It flees because it has no backbone. The only reason evil has a backbone is because you have none, and that's why they're so powerful. If the Christians and the churches start ringing the bell and say, we're not going to take this, we're going to stand in front of this courthouse until justice is done, in 24 hours you'll have justice, and the whole country can be turned around in 1 week. Guaranteed or your money back. But the problem is...
Hold that thought right there for a moment, Paul.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Stan, I guess this evening is Paul Walden. Of course, Paul feels very, very strongly about the freedom because he was raised in a communist country and came to America, and of course, he's lived here as a free man. He sees what's happening here in the United States as certainly the American people are so frightened to do anything and, of course, misled by their ministers who preach the gospel of Romans 13 and misinterpret it. And, of course, that's because the ministers have been taught the false interpretation of Romans 13 in their seminaries, which were taken over here in the United States 50 years ago, according to David Horowitz, who was raised in a communist family. And he actually told my friend, Colonel Ron Ray, a retired Marine Corps colonel, David Horowitz told him, why we took over, and this was in the early 90s, we took over your seminaries 50 years ago. That was the easiest part of undermining the fabric of our society. You know, we carry a wonderful book. It's written by Erwin Lutzer, who is the senior pastor at the Moody Church in Chicago. And Erwin Lutzer's book is called Hitler's Cross, and it tells what happened to the church in Hitler's Germany. And one of the things he mentions is how they preached Romans 13 there. The ministers preached Romans 13 because they didn't want to have to take a stand against Adolf Hitler, and they didn't want their people to take a stand, and they didn't want to rock the boat because they wanted to get their salaries, and they were more fearful of the government than they were of God. And an awful lot of them ended up dying in prison camps because when there was a time that they could have done something, they did not, and they misled the German people. And you go to Germany today, and the churches are empty. Why? Because the ministers lied to the population. And they're doing exactly the same thing in America today. And they're mobilizing the American Christian behind the Republican Party, as if somehow the Republican Party has virtue. Why the Republican Party is a bigger spender than the Democrats ever conceived of. The Republican Party increased spending for population control and for Planned Parenthood, which is the greatest producer of abortion, far better, far more money for abortion than the Democrats ever did. In fact, the Republican Party rewarded a man named William Pryor, who destroyed the career of Judge Roy Moore, the Ten Commandments judge. They rewarded William Pryor by giving him an interim appointment to the federal bench. So they say one thing, they do another, and the Republicans rally behind them because the Christian leaders tell them that's how they have to vote. You're voting for morality. And I say, why would you vote for an administration that has put far more homosexuals into key positions in government than the Democrats, than Bill Clinton ever did? So go ahead, pick that up, Paul.
You know, what they're teaching today is what I call the gospel of tolerance. And you know, that's in the coming battle. You mentioned the coming battle a little earlier. It's a book that Stan carries, that people listening to your show can purchase through you, that we publish. It was published in 1899. Mr. Walbert, who wrote that book, he was born before the Civil War, published that in 1899. He says how the seminary schools and the churches, well, the large ones, of course, were infiltrated in the 1800s already, to where they started watering down the gospel, to where today they're so brazen that they're even coming out with a politically correct Bible. There are churches, even the denominations that you have. I don't know which ones. Maybe you can remember, because I don't remember. I don't go to church, because to me, I brushed the dust off my feet about 15 years ago from one of them, and I'd never go back there again. But anyway, they allow homosexual ministers. So they sodomize each other on Saturday, and then a Sunday morning, they go there and they preach the gospel. And the people tolerate this. Now, the fault really lies with the people. Because if the people would say, listen, I'm not going to your church until you get a backbone or get a decent pastor in here, and all the pews were empty, he'd clean up his act so fast you wouldn't know which side his bread was buttered. That's how fast he would clean up his act, because money is they understand money, and money is power, and money is what this, they're in the Jesus business, basically. And if there's no money there, they have to close the doors down. So what they're going to do is they're going to start preaching the gospel. And one of them told me here, he was honest with me. He says, Paul, if we teach fire and brimstone like we used to back, you know, in 1776 during the revolution, when churches took a role, you know, in the making of this country, he says, I wouldn't have anybody in church here, because people don't want to hear that. All they want to hear is how wonderful everything is, and feel good, and everything is roses, and they all want everything positive. He says, they don't want to hear anything is bad. He said, they'll leave my church. And he said, if they leave my church, I have to close my doors. They actually told me this.
And I think that's probably true. And yet the minister should have far more fear of God than he does, you know, of the fact that people are going to leave his church. Because actually, I think there are people out there who are looking for the truth. They're looking for a church that will preach the gospel and will, of course, make us realize that we're all sinners saved by grace. And that, of course, was the wonderful message that was preached back in the 1730s and 1740s, really in 1740, by Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley, who came over from England. And they convicted people that they were sinners. And we had a first great awakening, and America turned from its sinful ways by 1730, after less than 100 years, just a little over 100 years, after, of course, the Plymouth colony was founded in 1620, 1730, that was 110 years. America was a totally depraved country. And, of course, we had turned against God, their sexuality, and all the things that are going on in our society today. And then came those two great ministers and a couple of other evangelists, and they created a revival in America. It was known as the First Great Awakening, and it was out of that great revival and turning back to God that came the American Revolution and claiming the freedom which you and I enjoy today. Had it not been for the First Great Awakening in 1740, there wouldn't have been a revolution in 1776.
You know, Stan, how many people in this country in Korean War, First World War, Second World War, I mean, in all the other undeclared wars, the Spanish-American War, you name it, all of them, died to keep this country free? How many people gave their lives today? Shame on you people. And what they're doing is they're throwing everything away. Thousands and thousands of people who fought and gave their lives so we may enjoy freedom in this country, and they're throwing it all away. They can't even stand up to a local crooked judge in their own courthouse. No wonder they can't stand up to these crooked politicians that are running your country, lying through their teeth. And they sign bills that they never read. That's in the coming battle, too. Mr. Walbert talks about how bills go through different committees. They put a fancy name on this bill and a fancy title on it to fool the people. It's like you got a can of worms with a picture of a can of peaches on it, so you think it contains can of peaches, but when you open it up, it's can of worms, and nobody reads this, so they don't know what's in it. They just sign something because someone told them it's good. Mr. Walbert talks about this, that they've been doing this throughout the 1800s, and they haven't learned anything, and they're still doing the same thing.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And it's sort of like deja vu all over again.
Yeah, and the Roman Empire.
Right.
Roman Empire lasted, what, I don't know, 1,000 years, 900 years? It lasted a long time. And if you study the Roman Empire, it was one of the greatest empires that the world has ever seen. And what made it great, because it was really a republic. And then it started getting perverse. And then they get perverse. And then they start getting perverse. And pretty soon, no one conquered the Roman Empire. It collapsed from within. And the same thing is happening to the American Empire. It's collapsing from within. And you know what they have? I see people driving down the road, they have a flag up. And that's their thing that they're doing. They're waving the flag, but they won't stand in front of the courthouse to get a crooked judge out because, you know, that's embarrassing and someone might see them there and they may not think highly of them. You know, everybody cares what everybody else is going to think of them. See, that's one thing, one problem I never have. I don't care what people think of me. I'll tell you the truth anyway. And, because truth is never popular and I'm not in a popularity contest. I'm sticking my neck out because I love this country. I came here because I love America and I want to bring America back to where it used to be. And America's not blessed, trust me. If you think God's going to bless America, you got another thing coming. God's not going to bless America at all until you bless God first.
Amen to that. Well, that's well said. And as I tell our listeners so often, there is no incidence in all history where a nation has turned its back on God and God's blessings. And believe me, this country was blessed by God at one time. But there's no incidence where a nation has turned its back on God and God's blessing, for God has not brought judgment on that nation. And we're already beginning to see this with a moral breakdown here where I live, the increasing tempo of violence, first of all in a city that was 50 miles away over in Salinas, and then in a country that's 20 miles away in Watsonville, and then it'll soon be here. It's spreading all across our country.
It's
called moral anarchy. And, of course, when you turn your back on God and you tell people that there is no right and wrong and that they evolved from animals, should we be surprised when they begin to act like they were animals? That they act as if there is no right and wrong, as if there is no God? So I believe that we're going to see financial chaos in America, financial Armageddon. I believe we're going to see moral chaos in America. I believe we're going to see war in America. We're moving rapidly towards World War III. And, of course, we can look at it from the point of view of the Project for the New American Century, who wants to get World War III going, because that would further their agenda. Or we can look at it from a biblical point of view. And if you read the scriptures, you find out that when the children of Israel turned against God, God then would mobilize enemies to come against them. And why not? This is the way it always has been, and the enemies are going to come against America. And the utopia that we think could never change, I fear, will soon become a nightmare. What do you think?
Stan, what are we leaving to our children? What are we leaving to your grandchildren? What kind of a America is your grandchildren going to inherit? They're going to be sodomized by homosexuals because you don't stand up to the perverts in government. That's what we're leaving to our children. Shame on you people, all of you.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two. We're going to welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to know what the homosexual movement really involves, we have a video. It's called The Gay Agenda. And it, actually, I am the medical expert in that video. Because I did that film, and I simply gave the scientific facts of what it's all about. We had over 250 obscene telephone calls and threatening calls. That's, of course, what happens in America. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Paul Walter, and we're talking about things that are going on in America. Would you like to talk about the mental health issues? Would you like to talk about the immigration issue? Would you like to talk about the war? What would you like to talk about specifically?
Well, we can, you know, I guess we kind of let them have it on the churches, so, you know, they don't know what to say. So usually when I'm hard like this, you don't get any calls at all, because what are they going to say? That I'm wrong? I'm not wrong. I'm right. I'm right on the money, and you're right on the money, and it's so sad. It saddens me because this whole thing can be turned around in one night. Yeah, we can't change Washington. Most likely, we can't change state capital, but you can certainly change your city and your county, because it's not that big, especially smaller counties or smaller cities. You can make a change, and you're not even making a change there, because I see that in our own neck of the woods here. We have a corrupt sheriff. I mean, this guy's got deputies who rough up women and smash women faces in the hood of a car. He just shot at a guy who had a flashlight, and he said it looked like a gun. Thank God he didn't kill him. And he was disciplined 3 months ago or 6 months ago or so, maybe a year ago, I don't know how long, for smashing a woman's face in the hood of a car. Then they rehired him back. Now he's doing something again. He shot at a guy with a flashlight because he thought it was a gun. And now he's going to be hired back again. And nobody stands up to these people. In fact, if it wasn't for the churches, we would have had a different sheriff, because the churches saved his job, because he goes to a church and plays a guitar there, and that makes him a good sheriff now, because he plays a guitar in a church choir. So they voted him in, and it backfired on him now. So now people are beginning to see that there's something wrong with this guy. Even the local paper is turning on him now. The whole county is turning on him now. And now what I'm doing is I'm writing letters to the editor and letting people know. He says, who elected this guy as your churches have been lying to for years, and here you have it. And now people are starting to see. So, anyway, I don't know, maybe we should leave that one alone, but mental health screening is another one.
Now, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about they call it the New Freedom Initiative.
Of course.
The background, that's the name that they've given to this program to begin screening our children and force them to be onto psychotropic drugs. We call it the New Freedom. Have you ever noticed how they use terms to conceal what they're really up to? For instance, the Tax Simplification Act of 1986, that was, of course, intended to make things much more complicated, but they couldn't tell the American people that.
Well, see, everything, if they say it's tax simplification, the truth is it's tax complication. If they tell you it's a freedom initiative, it's a slavery initiative. If they tell you it's the Patriot Act, it's an unpatriotic act. It's just the opposite is the real truth. And the Bible tells you this, in the last days, everything will be the opposite. What if they say it's up, it's actually down. If they say it's down, it's actually up. Just the opposite. That's to fool people. And or you have to tell them, oh, everything is beautiful, and they'll believe you. But if you tell them it's ugly, they won't accept it. So you have to lie to these people. And what did Hitler say, Stan? He said, tell a lie often enough and big enough, he says, and they'll believe it.
Well, we saw that here in California a few years ago when they wanted to deregulate electricity so they could lower the price of electricity.
And the rates went up.
They wanted, yeah, of course, they wanted to bring in competition. No, they didn't. They knew exactly what they were going to do. It was the greatest scam of all time. And what it did, it doubled or tripled our electricity bills. Now, how could that happen? Well, we just don't know how that happened. We did our best. We wanted to bring in competition. Competition didn't work. It had been tried all over the world, every place in the world. It was put in why it resulted in skyrocketing electricity prices. It's really, we'll talk about that in just a moment.
I remember early 19...
Hold. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, Paul and I were just talking about how they will say one thing when they really mean something else. For instance, the Tax Simplification Act of 1986 was really a vehicle of making the taxes much more complicated. How often have you heard the idea, we're going to have a new tax law so we can stop all those multimillionaires? You know, we have 100 multimillionaires who are not paying any taxes, and we modify the tax law, and then we have 300 multimillionaires who are not paying any taxes. So then they're going to have a new law so those 300 multimillionaires will have to pay their fair share of the taxes. And when they get all done, your taxes and my taxes have gone up, and now we've got 500 multimillionaires that are not paying any taxes. What's wrong with this scenario? Why, they simply lie to the people. And we were talking about, that Paul was talking about, how the Patriot Act is totally unpatriotic. And I was talking about the deregulation of electricity in California. That was the greatest scam of all time. In fact, we have a syllabus on that and a video that just shows how they pulled the thing off. And, of course, they told us we were going to deregulate electricity and bring in competition and lower the cost of electricity. Now, who can be against competition and lowering the cost of electricity?
What about when they said NAFTA and GATT is good, it'll bring jobs, more jobs? What
right.
happened? Just the opposite. But all the jobs get shipped to China, Mexico, and India. Then they tell you it's for the children. It's not for the children at all. It's just the opposite. It's against the children. Everything these people do is a lie. Now, when are these people going to catch on that these people are liars? Because they keep electing the same people over and over again. And I'm sure your listeners are more enlightened than most, so we're really preaching to a decent people here that are your audience. I know that. But what I'm talking about, the majority people out there, they can be fooled. So I can't believe how easy it is to pull a wool over these people's eyes.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right. I think it's such a tragedy that the average individual hears something and they hear a politician with a big smile say, you know, here in California he has a German accent. You know, I am here. I'm the Terminator. We are going to control big government and keep from raising.
And he's taxes. Making the government bigger.
And he made the government bigger. I mean, actually, Gray Davis, you know, had a budget of about $90 billion a year. I mean, now we're up over $105 billion in just a little over a year. Arnold Schwarzenegger is spending far more than Gray Davis did. And the only way he gets a balanced budget is by borrowing from future generations. The first time around, it was $15 billion. This time it's only $6 billion we're borrowing. We have the largest debt of any state in the entire union. Our bonds are getting down below the level of junk bonds. And what did the people of the state of California recently do? They voted $3 billion spending for genetic research, for cloning research or whatever it would be, and it's going to cost $6 billion because they have to pay interest on it. And who's going to get that money? All the special interests. Why, this is a gravy train for the people who are running these companies that are going to be doing experimentation there. Who's going to get the money? It's free money. And then if you get a product, well, they're going to make the profit on it. And the people here in the state of California, already in a bankrupt state, voted $3 billion because, we wanted to help Michael Fox because he's got Parkinson's disease. And maybe if we have stem cell research, why, we can help a poor Michael Fox, or we can help Superman, you know. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could get him walking again? What makes you think that the $3 billion you're going to give to special interest groups are going to help either one of those people? That is the greatest scam of all time.
You bet. You bet. And you know what? Gray Davis, he was pro-gay. Schwarzenegger, he's pro-gay even more.
I know, but the people of California can't see that.
Unbelievable. But it's not just California. They can't see in Oregon either. They keep electing a liberal governor. And we got the most liberal, he drips from liberalism, that's how liberal he is. And they keep electing that same liberal governor. And then we have one, they can hardly wait to get rid of him. And what did they do when they get rid of him? They elect another one as bad, if not worse, than the other one. And all he did is he talks roses. And blue skies everywhere. Sunshine, I get in, sunshine's gonna come out. Everybody's gonna be warm. When he gets in, everybody freezes. And they still haven't caught on. I don't know what is it going to take to wake these people up.
Well, I think, Paul, we have to be able to communicate with people. This is why I do what I do, and I know why you do what you do. The media is controlled by five mega corporations. This is covered in a book we carry called The New Media Monopoly. That's The New Media Monopoly by Ben Bekdakian. And he simply points out, five mega corporations dominate the American media and control effectively what the American people read, what they hear, and what they see. What we need to do, of course, is get on more radio stations. What we need to do is have people out there who are willing to join us in this effort to begin to take America back. But we can't do it unless we can reach the people. And we can't reach the people without your help. We'll be back in just a moment with Paul Walter. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Paul Walter, and we're talking really, well, sort of a potpourri of all sorts of things, some of the articles that he's been carrying on his website, newswithviews.com. Now, you can go to his website and pull down that book, the articles on newswithviews.com. They're short, they're concise, they're to the point, they're well-written, or he wouldn't put them up there. And I think you really will learn a great deal about a contemporary thought by seeing the articles on Paul's website, newswithviews.com. Well, our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And we were simply talking about, well, Oregon, the state of Oregon where Paul lives, and the case electing liberal governors. But the reason for that is the people never hear the truth. The major newspapers in the state of Oregon, as within most states, are controlled by the same folks that never tell the truth. And most of the major television and most of the major radio up there, we have one outlet actually in Oregon. That's the only outlet we have. If we had 100 outlets in Oregon, we could change the whole complexion of your state. But it'd be a matter of being able to get on enough radio programs. And then if we could get everybody reading your website, why, of course, we could change it as well. So how are we going to do that, Paul?
Well, you know, we are. We're making a big difference. My wife told me, which is also my secretary, my lovely wife, and she said some man called up and ordered a bunch of videos from us. And I forgot what military base he was from. He was in the Marines or the Army or the Air Force. I don't know which one. He was one of the largest military bases in the country. I don't remember which one anymore. And she says, everyone on the military base, he says, knows about News of Views. He said, we're the talk of that military base. He said, people think we're the best, we have the best website out there. And I would like to think we do, because, not because I have done anything special, because I haven't. We owe the success of the website to every and each writer. We have about 100 of them, the best writers in the country, the best minds, the people with good hearts who won't pull the wool over your eyes, who are not going to tell you the truth. We have them here. In fact, we turn down most writers because we can't take too many more, so we handpick them now. You know, we take the cream of the crop only. The best of the best is what we take right now, because we're full up and we can't take too many more, because we got so many articles backed up right now, we can't publish them all. But anyway, DV Kids has got a new one coming tonight. Those of you who love DV Kids,
hold that thought right there, Paul. We bring our other stations right on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Paul Walter, who's the editor of newswithviews.com. Paul, how many hits are you getting on your website a month?
I would say we're cruising somewhere between 12 and 15 million a month right now.
Now, 12 and 15 million people access their website every month.
We're very big in New Zealand and Australia, I can tell you that. We get a lot of hits from Australia and New Zealand, especially, I think it's in the evening because it's daylight there. I don't know exactly how it works, but toward the around 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, we get a tremendous amount of hits from Australia.
I think that's really wonderful, because this is really how we're reaching people throughout the world. We have the miracle of Internet. People are beginning to wake up in this country as well. I mean, 10 to 15 million hits a month you're talking about 500,000 hits a day. And this is how Paul is playing his part in waking people up across America. I would simply ask those of you out in the listening audience, what are you doing to help? Now, you can go to his website, newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. And, of course, he has all sorts of books and videos and other things that they offer, because they have to finance what they're doing as well. But they're not getting rich on this. They're doing this for one reason, because they want to help save America. And anybody who's out there can do something. You may not be able to do everything. You may not be able to write articles. You may not be able to do a radio program. But you can talk to other people, or you may have other talents. You may be able to write out a little brief flyers and pass them out.
Absolutely.
But anybody can talk to other people. And, of course, encourage them to go to Paul's website, newswithviews.com. Urge them to go to radioliberty.com, www.radioliberty.com, and listen to our radio programs, and give me the opportunity to try to convince people that we're right and everything that they get from the major media is wrong, and that certainly there is an organized effort to control what the American people think. Once you can get people to begin to realize the media is controlled and begin to understand that, that there's not battle between right and left, between Republicans and Democrats, between conservatives and liberals. This is all a great put-on scam to keep idle minds busy. There is a battle between those who would enslave us and those of us who would be free. That's what the battle is about.
Exactly.
And the people on the other side are very well organized. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. So why don't you pick up the story from there, Paul? And
you know what some people have done, which is really, I mean, just see, if those listening to it don't know what they're doing, you can do something. Even if it's a letter to the editor, even if you buy a book from Stan or a video from us, you're helping us, and we'll kick butt for you. So what some people have done, because they send me the clipping in the mail, is they put quarter page ads, you know, $100, $150, $200 ad in their paper about News Reviews to alert people in their community News Reviews, and that's how they donate, you know, to bring people to our site. They put a little ad in their local paper, whatever that happened to be. I've got one today in the mail that somewhere back east someone put probably $150 it cost him out of his pocket to put an ad in about newsreviews.com, and that brings people to our site from their neck of woods. So you can do something. You know, if God moves you, do something, because window of opportunity is closing. The hell that it's coming around the corner will be at your door guaranteed, and the only thing that's left right now is the way I see it, and I believe you see that as well, Stan, is we have to wake up as many people as we can, because that's going to be your freedom. Those people is the one that are going to save the country if there's any. It's because God says there'll be a great tribulation, and after the tribulation there'll be enough people that can inherit the earth. Well, if we could expect enough people to inherit the earth, we're going to have to wake a lot up. So that's what we're doing, and you know, every little bit that you can do out there, please do something.
All right, let's go to Steve, who's calling in from Ohio. Hi, Steve. How you doing?
How you doing, sir?
Doing fine. Good to have you with us. Do you have a question for our guest?
I wasn't sure with the subject. I just tuned in kind of late.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say that I so far what I'm hearing, I really like your show, and I'm listening to you on RBN Live.
Okay, that's very good. You're on the internet then.
That's correct. And I have a question, just an overall question for both of you. I'm so upset. I mean, I am so relieved that there is great, you know, information on the internet, especially with the audio you can download. Do you see in this Bush administration there being a restriction because of the fact that we're competing with the lies of the mainstream media?
Now, as far as the Bush administration, you mean you think they're going to take action to try to silence those of us who are telling the truth?
Well, I don't know what your support is for the president. Personally, most of the shows I listen to don't support either party. And my question is do you feel that there's going to be Patriot Act or there's this new legislation that was passed, this national security legislation, is going to put more restrictions on the internet?
All right, what do you think of that?
Well, I'll tell you what you're going to have coming down the road. There is, number one, in a dime worth of difference between Bush and Kerry, in my opinion. The only difference is one calls himself a Democrat, the other one calls himself a Republican. But they both support the war, they both support the Patriot Act, they're both going to enslave you, they're both bonesmen.
Right.
So what you're going to have is, see, if Osama bin Laden did the World Trade Center deal, well, they're not going after him now. You and I are going to pay for our freedom for what those Arabs allegedly did.
Well, allegedly.
So what you're going to have, you're going to have a national ID card.
Right.
Which is, they're going to basically take away states' rights to issue
right.
the driver's license. It is going to be federalized. So you're
right.
going to be stopped by federal Gestapos, and you're going
right.
to say, your papers, please. Just
yeah.
like they did in Nazi Germany.
Yeah, you know,
you're
going to
have mental health screening, and the government, and the reason they're going to have mental health screening of the whole U.S. population, because they want to know who the adversaries are. They want to know where your allegiance is. Where are your allegiances with Mother Apple Pie, Main Street, and America, and patriotism and God? well, you're mentally ill, you see. You won't fit into the New World Order. That's why they got to mentally screen the whole U.S. population.
Well, I'll give you another thing, that they want to pass this national sales tax, okay, so that they can keep everybody on the grid system. Now, if people opt out of this and say, well, I'm just going to work off the land for, I'm going to work for food, it seems like they're going to try to make it with this cashless control grid. Our lives are going to be so miserable because they're going to make it so that we literally can't do anything unless we play ball with the system. I see that it's going to get to the point where you can't even travel state to state. I see this in the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, absolutely. They've done that in communist Yugoslavia where I came from. They restrict travel. The reason is so the news won't be able to travel fast. As far as food is concerned, they control that too.
Yeah, well, they've already taken the seeds of the food, and they made it now where the food, you can't even, when you eat, a tomatoes, it won't even have any seeds in it because they're engineering the food so they can control populations.
Exactly. It's all genetically modified. It's all GMO seeds and GMO foods. So Monsanto and companies like that who are producing the seeds will have the seeds. And you know what? Hitler said that you can control people through their stomach. When they're hungry enough, they'll turn their own neighbor in for a loaf of bread.
I'll tell you, this is the most demonic control.
Absolutely.
I mean, these Illuminati people are the most demonically evil people. I really believe they are from hell. I cannot imagine anybody could be so evil to want to control people at this level.
But you see, they can't control people if we can wake them up, because there is too few of them and there's too many of us.
Well, I hope it backfires, but I go to college now and I'm around a lot of 20-something-year-olds. And with this self-centered, hedonistic individualism, I can't see anybody stepping out of this mess. I mean, everybody just cares about their cell phone batteries and the transmission on their car and their reality TV shows. If we could make people, I mean, I go around people all the time and talk, and all they want to talk about is the superficial garbage of the daily life.
Steve,
no, they can't face reality.
Steve, right. Your job is to get people to listen to my radio programs, and let me convince them to get them onto Paul's website, newswithviews.com,
okay.
Two of the best sources of information. But you can listen to our archive programs. You can listen to our programs live 5 hours a day. And you want to know what I think about the President Bush? I think that a President Bush comes from exactly the same secret society that John Kerry comes from, and that both men are dedicated to globalism. Both men are dedicated to the transfer of our wealth to other countries. Both men are dedicated to the impoverishment of the American people, and both men are intent upon pursuing the war in the Middle East will result in a terrible backlash against America, blowback, and World War III. But, hey, we're out of time. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you so much, sir. Bye-bye.
God bless. Let's go to Ed, who's calling from Ohio. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Oh, good. And yourself, Dr. Stan?
Doing just great.
Okay. And comment on this other gentleman's statement of having to have a passport to go between state to state. It may be county to county. Yevgeny Primakov, the former head of the KGB, and also Alexis Karpov, the other general from the KGB, are paid consultants to our Office for Homeland Tyranny.
I've heard that, and I've done everything I could to verify that. And
well,
I'll
that's
tell you
in Charlotte Isabey's article.
Be fine?
That's in Charlotte Isabey's article.
I know, and I've talked to Charlotte, and it may very well be true, but even if it isn't, there's another fellow from the KGB they've just hired named Wolf. So certainly, why would we hire anybody from a communist country to work for the Office of Homeland Security? And then we might ask why it would be that Gorbachev, the former dictator of Russia, the butcher of Afghanistan, is working with people at the highest levels of our government. Why would Gorbachev, who is a dedicated communist, establish the State of the World Forum, and this we can prove. On his board of directors were George Herbert Walker Bush, George Shultz, Ted Turner, a man named Mabiki. Nobody had heard of Mabiki at the time, but he eventually became the ruler of South Africa. Believe me, there is a brotherhood of darkness and elite that really rule the world, and the average American has no glimpse of it.
They want to turn this into the Soviet Union. That's why they're there. And I'll be happy to email this article to you.
All right. I really appreciate that. Thank you so very much, Ed. Anything else?
Keep the faith.
All right, Dad. You have my website.
Is it on the website?
Well, no, I'm talking about the
email.
The email. Well, you go ahead and it's Dr. Stan Radio at AOL.com. D-O-C-T-O-R, Stan Radio at AOL.com. I'll look forward to getting it.
Okay, very good. I'll do it now.
God bless you. And right now we've got Mike calling again from, is that Mike from Santa Cruz? Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hey, Stan. I just want to ask Paul if there is a good explanation of Romans 13 on his website.
Well, we have, I think if you go into Pastor Chuck Baldwin's archives, I think there's stuff like that there. We do have articles that explains, I think the article that explains real well about that, his name is Pastor, I can't think of his name right now because we got so many writers, I can't think of them all. But I'm looking at his name right here, Ernie Sanders, Pastor Ernie Sanders. So go into the Google search on the bottom of our website and punch in Pastor Ernie Sanders. And I know he's got an article there. It's in the archive somewhere and explains the Romans 13 very well. And, of course, Romans 13 says you have to obey godly authority. It doesn't say you have to obey wicked authority.
Right.
And, you know, I don't have a problem with obeying godly authority, and I'm sure Dr. Stan doesn't either, but the problem is because godly authority would not allow this country to be morally bankrupt, so obviously we have ungodly authority, and a godly authority wouldn't throw the Ten Commandments out the window, and obviously ungodly authority would, so we don't have godly authority at all. So what they're doing is they're misleading their flock, and that's why this, and that's basically the church as well, basically responsible for the rise of Adolf Hitler as well. And what they don't realize is that eventually the evil will get so powerful, it'll turn on the very churches that they're protecting right now. It'll turn on the church, and eventually they'll shut the church down too. Don't realize that eventually it will be on their doorstep as well.
Yeah. Well, Hitler convinced the church, I believe, that he was a Christian, right?
He did, and of course he wanted to. He was going to have a Christian country, and the people believed in him because, after all, this was their Christian leader, and all these terrible things were happening. If only Adolf Hitler knew what was happening, why he wouldn't allow that to happen.
They believed in him,
but what, see, people have missed about Adolf Hitler, Mike, is the fact that he was demonically possessed. He was deeply involved in theosophy. He was a disciple of Madame Blavatsky. He read on every evening her Secret Doctrine, and anybody who hasn't read Madame Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine needs to read it, or you can read the important parts in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. She was a possessed woman. She was a medium, and of course it was Madame Blavatsky, Blavatsky's idea of the Aryan super race that was deeply involved with the whole idea of the Nazi movement creating and breeding the new Aryan man. And until we face the fact that the whole Nazi movement was involved with the occult and that leaders of our country are involved in the occult, we cannot understand what's going on. That's the only way we can understand the fact that after the Second World War, the American CIA brought 1,000 Nazi scientists to America. Many of them should have been tried for war crimes, and helped 10,000 of the most vicious of the Nazis escape to South America. The CIA, the MI6 of Great Britain, worked with a certain division within the Vatican, and they helped 10,000 Nazis escape to South America. Adolf Eichmann, Klaus Barbie, Adolf Mengele, Martin Bormann. And we have a wonderful video where Sam Donaldson actually tracked down this whole incredible story, and I don't know whether it's a half an hour or an hour video. It's called The Rat Line. We don't carry it, but we can tell people how to get it. And you'll actually see, I think it was probably an ABC production, they go down and they talk to these the fellows living in Paraguay 50 years after the end of the Second World War, and they've been protected all this time by RCIA. Why? Because RCIA is deeply involved in the occult. Certain parts of our government have always been involved in the occult, going back to the time when they put on the back of the Great Seal of the United States in 1782, the pyramid, capped by the all-seeing eye.
You know, I was watching the History Channel the other day, and it's one of my favorite channels, and they showed the Third Reich and the Nazi regime, and there comes Adolf Hitler parading down the street, and you have millions of people lined up in the parade route. and they show these women, they're waving their flags and throwing roses at him and with tears in their eyes. Here comes Herr Hitler, here comes Herr Hitler, crying that this guy's walking by. The butcher of I don't know how many millions of innocent women and children, and they're sitting there crying that this guy's walking by. That's how brainwashed people were. They didn't see anything wrong with him, and that's the same thing is happening today. They're brainwashed with these churches.
And, of course, the thing is that there isn't a cult force behind Adolf Hitler. There isn't a cult force behind what's going on in America today. And the fact that the churches would back a man for president who belonged to a secret society, it's like Skull and Bones, and nobody, none of our Christian leaders, talked about that. Now, admittedly, John Kerry belonged to the same secret society, so why weren't our religious leaders asking about that? I don't care what the man says, whether he's pro-life. He can say he's pro-life, but what has he done? How many lives has he saved? And why did he increase the funding for Planned Parenthood? And why, of course, did he join UNESCO, which, of course, is pro-choice? There's so many unanswered questions, and nobody really wants to know the answers. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Stay on there, Mike. Mike, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
One last thing. Just like they say, those who don't know their history are condemned to repeat it. So what do? They take away our history so we don't know it. So we are condemned to
That's what
it.
They're reviving the history, so to make sure you don't learn it.
And, yeah. But until we begin to understand the influence of the occult in what's going on, we really can't understand anything. That's why this new movie, National Treasure, and I haven't seen it, but it goes into the occult emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the Masonic Foundation involvement in the foundation of America, and that really is true. The Masons were involved, but the Masonic organization really, of course, is a Luciferian organization. Not that the average Mason knows that, but there is a Luciferian element within Masonry. They have been here since long before the Declaration of Independence was ever written. They first came here in 1640. We have a book written by a Satanist that describes it called The Secret Destiny of America. Or you can certainly get my October newsletter, which gives you the entire story as laid out by the Satanists of their influence on the United States. Until we can understand the same occult influence is here that was in Hitler's Germany at the time of the Second World War and before, until we recognize that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on the political battlefield, we will continue losing. Our job, yours, Mike, and yours, Paul, is to help us get that message out. I really believe that that is the key to understanding the evil that permeates every aspect of our society today. There really are secret societies out there. Anything else, Mike?
No, Paul, thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye. And, Paul, you want to wrap up this evening's program?
Well, yeah, I don't know what to say. That hasn't been said already. And, it's the only thing I could add as a parting thought is to do something, get involved. Even, I tell you what I done first in our neck of the woods where I live here in Southern Oregon is I started picketing the local paper here. And, I got about 20 friends together and, 1 hour a day we start picketing the paper. And because they were promoting gay lifestyles and, all kinds of shape. They haven't done that since, by the way. And they lost like 800 subscriptions the first week. So we hit them pretty hard, and the paper hasn't been the same since. And, once you take your first step, and I remember the first time I've done that, a guy coming out of the newspaper office with a briefcase, first thing I thought of, boy, he's a lawyer, I'm going to get sued. And I was nervous and scared. I've never done this before, but I've done it anyway. I didn't give in to my fear, and I've done it anyway. And you know what? Eventually, the fear will leave you, and you'll grow in character and stature, and your courage becomes bolder, and you just go out there and get involved and do something, and take a bunch of friends with you, and have fun while you're doing it.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening has been Paul Walter. Now, he's got a wonderful book that he has reprinted. Actually, it was written in the 1890s, but of course he's reprinted. It's called The Coming Battle. It explains the financial monopoly that existed in 1890. That same monopoly exists today, only now they're leading us towards a financial Armageddon, according to Paul, to Steve Roach. That's Steve, S-T-E-V-E, Roach, the senior economist at Morgan Stanley. And 2 weeks ago today, he gave a special briefing where he talked about the coming financial Armageddon. 90% chance of having a financial Armageddon because of what was described in a book that was written in 1890 called The Coming Battle. Let me suggest, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You want to read The Coming Battle because you have to understand the past before you can understand what's going on today. Paul Walter, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
God bless. It's always a pleasure. Bye-bye. And remember, of course, the website to go to is newswithviews.com. 10 to 15 million hits a month, half a million hits a day. People all over the country are getting information. Paul Walter is not an editor. He edits this. He's done what he's done because he's called to do it, and he's having an impact. And we're having an impact, too, here at Radio Liberty. And every one of you out there in the audience can have an impact one way or another. Certainly, you can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can look at the items we have. And, of course, we carry the big Berkey and units. If you buy them through us, you get a video or a four-tape set. We have the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. We have Sanjian Radio's, a wonderful Christmas gift. And, of course, we have all sorts of books and four-tape sets and videos we produced, all aimed at one thing, educating the American people. Anything that we have produced, why, we have our permission to copy that. As long as you're not making a profit, if you want to copy the videos, if you want to copy the four-tape sets, feel free to do that. We want that information out across America. You can even copy our syllabuses if you want to, and, of course, distribute and disseminate the information. We're involved in a life-and-death struggle for the survival of Western civilization. But behind that is that eternal spiritual battle that's been going on since the dawn of civilization. That battle between God and Satan, and of course it's a supernatural battle in many respects. But I believe God requires us to be involved. And if you think you can sit back and do nothing, you're sadly mistaken. Because in this battle there is no position of neutrality. You're going to have to be on one side or the other, and if you think you can be in the middle of the road, remember, it's the fellows that walk up the middle of the highway that get hit by cars going in both directions. And so, you know, somebody once said, when freedom is at stake, silence isn't golden, it's yellow. And we got an awful lot of people out there who don't have the courage to take a stand because they don't want to be controversial, but you are going to be controversial. It's been said that some men die in foxholes and some go down in flames, but most men die just bit by bit, playing foolish little games. It's also been said that a coward dies a thousand deaths, a brave man dies but once. Where do you want to be? Too many men have given their lives in past generations to preserve the freedom of this nation. Are you going to sit by idly and have this freedom lost? What's our job? It's to educate the American people. That's the one weapon that the enemy fears more than anything else, an educated, concerned, dedicated American public. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get The Coming Battle. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter or catalog that lists our items, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Listen to our programs there, 5 hours a day. Won't get much accomplished, but then, of course, you can listen to our archives. You can hook up with all the other networks we're associated with. We're actually on about 5 different networks, 4 of other people's networks. We're on RadioLiberty.com, which is our own network. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.